Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney. Christy Wowardy Dowardy.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
Susie going toe to Tobin.
Anna.
God, I love that banana.
Anderson.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor. Ava Nagila Weber.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Savannah, it's my birthday month, Cookcroft, Kelly Grant, the Grandmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys.
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on Ye Old Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam. And here I am with my gorgeous little friend and co-host, Mr. Ben Mandelker. Hello, Bean.
Hello, Ronnie. How are you today?
I'm doing so good. I'm just glad to be here, glad to be alive, glad that mother. See,
glad to be,
to give me part glad of my to be separating my.
I'm just glad to be separating my company from my mother. Mother!
Is Real Housewives of Dallas Day, everybody. We have sold out Dallas. Thank you to everybody who's coming. If there's a lot more of you that want to come and didn't get tickets, let us know on Twitter, Instagram, or our Facebook group, Watch What Crappens Live and Loving It. Because if there's a demand for more, I mean, why not? We'll do another one. But we don't want to, like, schedule another one and then, you know.
Like, 30 people show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't, it's like... Yeah, like, we have to make sure there's, like, a real, like really, like, we have to feel it, you know? We have to feel it that you guys want us to do another show in Dallas. But, you know, but no big deal. And also, by the way, as, you know, as we mentioned earlier this week, the first New York show – I'm sorry. The Friday night New York show is sold out, but our Thursday night show still has some tickets left, and we are going to be talking about Real Housewives of Dallas that night. Which is great because we just went – we did a Denver show last week and we did Real Housewives of Dallas. And my, oh my, as we probably already mentioned like a billion times already this week, like that was such a fun show. And doing Dallas live is so fun because these women are crazy as we are about to see as we jump into this episode. And so Dallas is actually turning into one of my favorite live shows that we've done because we've actually done a few Dallas live shows and they're great. These women make for a great live show.
Yeah. So come check that out. And then next month is New York City. So get your ass to that, people. And then following that in November, we're going to be in Seattle. And then December, we are going to be in Nashville, City of Music.
That's right. And Nashville, by the way, is also selling at a very steady, reliable clip. So I would also like keep an eye on that one, because if you're thinking about going to Nashville, I think that one's going to sell out too, to be honest.
So go get your tickets. Okay, everybody, now let's get on to some Real Housewives of Dallas.
Oh, okay. My God, what a great episode. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you felt about it, but I was sitting there laughing the entire time. I was like, this is why I love Dallas. This is why I'm so excited for the people. This is not to be like a shill or anything, but we have a lot of people who are like, well, I don't really watch Dallas, but I like marathoned it to get ready for the Denver show. Or some people are saying that they're going to start watching it in anticipation of the New York show. And I'm like so happy for you because I watched this episode and I'm like, this is such a good show. It is so funny. This is like varsity level Housewives. This is why we do our podcast.
Yeah. And it doesn't have the best ratings, which sucks. Because it makes us laugh every damn time. I mean, look, this show starts off with Water Fountain's Time to Pop music. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
come on, guys. It's like going to the Bellagio.
Yeah. It's like the Dallas Bellagio Water Fountain Pop.
Yeah. It's like, it's so fancy. What a fancy show. Mm-hmm. It's like going to the Bellagio and then walking around and taking photos and a boomerang of those fountains. And you're like, look at me. I was somewhere special. And that's how I feel when I watch this show. I was somewhere special.
Well, this is how I feel when the show goes straight from Water Fountain Pop at the Bellagio to Baby Hell at Circus Circus. Because it's like fun, fun, fun. And then it's like, wah, wah. Yeah. Is every fucking episode going to start off with Brandy's baby crying? What the fuck? I feel at this point like I'm being baited.
I know. For a moment, I thought I was watching last week's episode. I was like, wait a second. We're starting with crying again? I was like, am I watching the right episode? Is my DVR set right? It is, to extend the metaphor, it is truly like you are in the Uber, like heading to the Bellagio, and then you look down at your phone to check text, and you have arrived at like the Golden Nugget. And like maybe yes. Not even the Golden Nugget. You're not even in Vegas anymore. You're in like Laughlin, Nevada at that point. Is that how you say it, Laughlin? You're in Prim. That's easier for me to say. You're in Prim. That border town. You know that border?
Yes.
That
border? Or you're just at that casino, that shitty casino that's like castles and stuff. What is it?
Excalibur.
Yeah, Excalibur. And then no, you walk not... in and you're like, I just wanted to play a nickel machine. Why does everything smell like shit?
You're not even there. You're at Morongo, okay? Like, you went the wrong direction. You went towards Palm Springs and you wound up at Morongo.
And there's Randy. It's a little Morongo in here. It's getting a little Morongo in here.
We got a little Morongo happening over there. Yeah, it's like the Morongo Casino of Bravo. Yeah, Brandy's house.
Brandy. Well, she's wearing the outfit for it. It's like the social workers are coming over, and she's wearing this like blue dress with a neck scarf thing. What are those called? It's like a collar. That, I don't even know what I'm trying to say, guys.
Scarf?
You know, it's not a scarf, but yeah, oh. It's like some bizarre thing. Like, why would you wear a casino outfit to meet the social worker?
Why are you holding a cocktail tray, Brandy? Why are you like in a bunny outfit? They're just like the Morongo music is just playing all the way in the like everywhere, like you know their music.
God, it used to be Casino Morongo. No, Casino Morongo. It pays better to play. Something like that. I still remember that. Yeah, I still sing Casino Morongo music. Yeah, that's before they rebranded. I mean, they're still Casino Morongo, but then they were like, you know what? Get rid of that singer. And let's just have it be like, dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 dun. It was like someone composed music for like a laser show that was going to be like it was gonna be for like the Ozarks or something like that, you know, like they were gonna create a laser show down in like Missouri, and then they're like, you know what, we ran out of the budget, and someone's like, well, we had this music, let's sell it to Morongo, and Morongo's like, we'll take some laser music, we'll make that we're gonna build our entire marketing campaign around laser music, but guess what, no lasers,
unfortunately, because they could aim them at Brandy and shut that baby up.
Once again, the kids are like terrorizing the kitchen, and Brandy's holding the brew in, and she's like, I'm going to need, you guys have to make your own lunch boxes because I have to visit with a social worker. And they're like, that's your job, mommy.
I like that they're little Shannon Bedores.
That is your job.
Brandy?
Here lies Brooklyn, Brandy's daughter. Killed by having to make her own lunch.
30 to 40 negative thoughts. No, they're turning into hyper thoughts because I just had a whole bag of Sour Patch Kids. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned this in your last recap, but what does she do? Just fill all the bottom shelves with processed food? Jeez. Could you give these chance of kids to not have diabetes too by the time they're 10? Okay.
I know.
Like they're sitting there, like putting their hands in the icing, you know? And notice that Brooklyn licks icing off her middle finger and gives her mom the finger? So good.
I didn't even notice because at this point I'm just like turning away. I just feel like it's like Sodom and Gomorrah. Was that where Lot's wife turned around and turned into a pillar of salt? Was that Sodom and Gomorrah? Was that a different town?
Oh,
in the Bible?
I don't remember.
Whatever that awful place was.
Yeah,
that
you're
Lot's
like, just keep your eyes open through Sodom and then close them during Gomorrah, girl.
I feel like it was a different town, but either way, I just was like, I was starting to feel, I was feeling like I was turning into salt. And so I was like, I'm just going to like look down at my notes and just listen. I'm not going to look at what the children are doing.
Well, if you had turned into salt, Brandy could grind you all over something and feed it to her goddamn kids. Okay. She's like, sodium and sugar.
So these kids have now actually turned the corner from hyperactive to evil. And believe it or not, I actually like them being outright evil because they were just like, Brooklyn was like, basically she was like, if this, like the social workers might take away Bruin if we lie. And I was like, that is so evil. And
the enemy of my enemy and all that.
Well, I just kind of feel like that shows so much initiative. Like, good for you, little girl. Now you're channeling your frenzied activity into something productive.
Yeah, ruining Brandy's life. That kid's going to be the next full cast member on this show.
she really will be.
So so she's like, well, we're going to tell him you don't pay any attention to us, and you're always on your stupid phone. And then Dr. James Mercer and his helper, whatever, I didn't catch her name, sorry.
Gladys.
I don't know why I needed to write down Dr. James Mercer, but there you go.
Is that what his name was? I didn't even know they had names.
Yeah, he had like his own Chiron, and I was like, wow.
Wow, I treated them sort of the way Brooklyn treated them when she opened the door for them. They knock on the door, and Brooklyn goes up to the front door, opens it, and just walks away. Like, ugh.
So I was just glad it wasn't babies. I was glad it wasn't two tiny screaming babies at the door, like, wah, yeah. Wah, wah, wah. It's like the first dialogue we've had in a Brandy scene.
I was afraid it was going to be someone with a wheelbarrow full of Twizzlers that they were just going to dump in the foyer and be like, eat these kids and Swedish fish. So so Brandy's like, the last time the social workers came, it was like a bit of a scene. And we see a flashback and we see Brooklyn go, mommy's favorite drink is wine, which made me roll over laughing. This was like the first time that her kids made me laugh instead of pull out my hair. I was like, oh my God, these kids are being so funny today.
I know. She was like in full throw under the bus mode. Yeah. Because then in this one, Brandy's like, I know I'm an amazing mother, but if anything is misinterpreted, like that little wine comment, I could lose my baby. Wah! And so the doctor's like, so how's life with the new baby? And the lady says, yeah, when he cries, do you soothe him? She's like, oh yeah, I pick him up. And she goes, well, how do you calm him down? Tell me the ways you calm him down. And she says, I hold him or take him for a walk. And Brooklyn's like, that's not a real walk. It's just down the driveway.
So now Brooklyn has turned into Kelly Dodd. Yeah.
She's just heckling her from the side.
You're a little bitch. You're a little bitch, social worker. And so are you, Mom.
You're
Shut
a
up.
Dork.
You don't walk him.
Dork.
You don't walk him anywhere. You don't. You little bitch. I walk him to the pond and back up. Dude, we don't even have a pond. There's no pond.
Well, we also like to read together. Some days I read maybe 2 books a day to him.
And they're like, I wouldn't go that far.
I find that hard to believe. Okay, now she's Luann. Oh, really? Really, mother? I find that hard to believe. What do you read? Packages on the what they write on the back of a Cracker Jack box?
Who cares if she's reading books? I'll tell you this much. My mother does not support other women.
Wow, mother. Wow. Wow. I mean, wow. Like, seriously, like, you like reading books all of a sudden to Bruin? Like, he's like a child. He doesn't even know what you're saying. Like you could be like, goo goo gaga. He'd be like, that's a great book. Like, honestly, like, I don't get it. Like, literally kill me now, Mom. Like, kill me now.
You want a ham sandwich? Make a goddamn ham sandwich.
Did you read Bruin my book? What's left behind?
God forbid Tinsley gets left out. She's like, wah, wah. It's like, okay, there goes Bruin again.
she's like, oh my God, Mom, you have my babies.
My eggs.
So then they ask about Brian. They're like, so this husband that you keep saying that you have. And she's like, oh my God, he's so into it. He's obsessed.
He'll be back in about a year and a half or so. He travels a lot for work.
Yeah, he's so obsessed. So then we go to Cameron. It's like 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. or something. Her kids are eating cereal and it's like dark out. And she is leaving because she has to head to Orlando for the Global Pet Expo. And so
Expo.
I have to go to the Global Pet Expo because a lot of distributors there. So she's nervous. She's FaceTiming Court. She's like, I'm nervous. And he goes, why? It's like, thanks, Court. Yeah. Thanks for that support.
He's like, have confidence in yourself. Ugh. And she's like, Court has made it very clear that if I don't find a distributor, this is the Unsparkle Dog.
Sparkle Dog has a booth at the Global Pet Expo.
Did you catch it? She was telling the kids, okay, kids, it's time to go. I think I have everything.
Except for the kids. Some dumb blondes pack some things. Smart blondes pack everything.
She's like, this is work instead of a trip, so I'm flying commercial, and I don't know how to do it.
How do you fly a commercial? Do you, like, call up the Energizer Bunny and be like, I like your commercial, can I fly on it? Like, how does that work?
Do you get to choose your commercial? What if I get stuck with Fred Flintstone? Really don't like him.
What if I have a DVR and I don't get to see commercials anymore? Do I still get to fly a commercial? It's hard.
Has anybody here ever really gauged the comfort of a Triscuit?
Does Sandy Duncan, does she, I know she flies in Peter Pan, but does she fly in her own commercial?
Stupid.
Sorry, that's Wheat Thins. I'm sorry. I just really botched that one.
You know, we've done that for years. We've done that for 6 years now. We keep putting Sandy Duncan in the wrong commercials.
We quietly have an ongoing Sandy Duncan joke that's never really been acknowledged by us or the listeners until today.
One time Sandy Duncan's, I think, daughter-in-law contacted us and was like, it's Wheat Thins, it's not Triscuits or whatever.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was a long time ago, back when we always made Sandy. Who had a glass eye? Someone looked like they had a glass eye,
Sandy
so we
Duncan.
Kept calling him Sandy Duncan.
Oh. I don't know who had a glass eye. I mean, I don't know. We have managed to bring Sandy Duncan into our podcast quietly many, many times.
Well, on a network full of Peter Pans, how can you not?
Hey, I know.
Hey, guys.
So anyways,
yeah, it's your dad joke for the day.
So, Cameron, you know, technically she didn't say this is not a trip. She said, it's not a vacation, which made me laugh because I just like the way she said vacation. Vacation. She was checking with court. She was like, I get my bags before I get the car, right?
No, you drive your car into the baggage claim.
Yeah, exactly. They'll have the bags waiting at Hertz.
I get that she's, like, too rich to ever have done it, but, A, you weren't – I mean, haven't you seen people do it? Like, mm-hmm. You have to pass the baggage claim to get outside, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, like, it's pretty – and worst case scenario, you just the flow of the airport is that you pretty much get your bags, and then – you know what? You know, I can't. I don't know. I'm actually dumbfounded right now. I'm like speechless.
I'm like waiting to see where you're gonna go. I'm like, ooh, some airport anger. I love it. Some baggage claim anger is coming.
She's like sitting there at the baggage claim, waiting for the sushi to come out. Like, I'm waiting. Yeah. She just thinks it's one of those things.
Love those places, by the way. And by the way, you end up spending $9 million at those places.
I love those places, but I feel like I've yet to go to one where the sushi is actually like good. You know, it's always like fine, and you spend a lot of money on just like average sushi, but it is fun to watch it go by.
Yeah, it's a parade like of sushi. So next up is Dandra and Leanne, and we know that it's going to be a competition scene because these two are about to just start a season-long war, and
yes.
We've seen it coming, but this is the nail in the coffin. We know it's here because Leanne shows up in readers. She's going to like compete with Dandra's readers.
Yeah, and they a reader off. What is this, like C-SPAN 2 on the weekend? Book TV?
Think you're the only one who can wear readers?
Mine are from CVS. So Leanne, they get together at like a coffee place, and they just like, they're like settling into like their seat, and Leanne's like, it feels good just to sit still for a second, and then her napkin blows away, and she goes, damn it, I knew that was going to happen! And I love how like the napkin's like, you don't get to sit still, I'm getting away from you. she's like trying to knock it, like slam it down. God damn it, that napkin.
The napkin's oh, gotcha. Terrified of Leanne.
The napkin thought it was like home free.
It's like, please don't strangle me.
The napkin's like, she's distracted. I can make a run for it. I can be free. I can go into a bush. No, you can't.
Napkins have always had it in for me. Ever since I was in the corny. You'd think I didn't want to be a little girl who would have cotton candy and something to wipe her fingers with.
I try so hard to be accepted by that napkin. At the moment I try to be nice to it, it tries to fly off.
I was just warning Dandra that napkin wasn't trustworthy.
I told Deandra, look, I'm going to have a fresh start with that napkin. I am not going to put a paperweight on top of it. The first thing it did, it hurt me so deep, it flew away.
So Leanne is telling Dandra that she's going to have a little event for the girls called Smashing Good Time, which should horrify everybody in the state, you know, because exactly. It's like a Donkey Kong smash. It could just, the whole world, buildings could start falling down.
Yeah, it was. I feel like Leanne reenacting Rampage is like it's a bad idea for the world. Yeah. But at least there was no like Smash Mouth involved, you know, because that would have really like that would have tipped it over the edge if during this smashing scene later on, if like Smash Mouth was just in the corner just singing All Star, you know, we don't need that.
Or Smashing Pumpkins.
Or it could have been a Smashing Pumpkins Smash Mouth like cover band, like tribute band, and they're like, hey, now we're I can't even remember. I can't even think of a Smashing Pumpkins song. I was listening to one this weekend too. I actually sat and listened to a Smashing Pumpkins song for the first time in forever.
It I
was
like that you sat and listened
saw me
to
with
it.
A smile.
That's what it was.
I like that you're like, oh my god, it's Smashing Pumpkins. I'm gonna sit down and listen.
No, it wasn't that I sat down and listened. It was I was driving and the song came on, and you know I like Smashing Pumpkins, but I generally changed the radio station. I decided, no, I'm going to listen to this song. I haven't heard it in a while, you know, with its dramatic, like, church bells in the beginning. And I was like, this is funny that this was ever a hit song, you know?
Well, and here we are. Here we are all these years later.
here we are.
Still suffering from the mistakes that Smashing Pumpkins made. So Leanne's like, we're going to have smashing in the anger room. You might have seen it in films or television where you just grab a bat and start smashing things out of anger. I mean, it could have been worse. It could have been The Purge.
Yeah, it could have. It could have been.
Just one night. It's like, let's all be nice to each other until 4:20. When all hell breaks loose.
I think Leanne calls The Purge Christmas.
Merry Purgemas.
The Purge is when no cameras are around to catch her ass.
Yeah. So she's like, it's going to be good. This anger not. We're going to the anger room. We could be vulnerable to the group and then smash it. Smash it.
Well, I don't know if I'm happy about this. I don't think that Leanne needs to be given anger management. I don't think she needs to be given a bat. Okay.
Deandra is so out of control, angry in everything she says today.
Yeah. She is like... Deandra's just gone down this, like, D has sent her down this path of crazy right now. D knew exactly what she was doing. I think D did not like how, what Deandra said about her in season one, and now D is pissed at her, and D is like, fine, if you want to have your money, why don't you do your own business? She's like, I will, mother! But D was like, she challenged her to that because she knew Deandra would just spiral out of control, and that's what's happening.
And I'm loving watching him. Deandra says,
I don't need to see Leanne with the plate in her hand aimed at my head!
Like, damn, I love your anger. It's like first thing in the morning.
Yeah. So now Deandra's talking about like the what she has to do with her business. If she wants to spin off Hard Night Good Morning, she has to start from scratch, where it's like literally like a bank account that has zero in it and like no employees, no nothing, which to me sounds like a very daunting process. And I just wouldn't do it. It just seems like a major, major headache. And she's like, you know, it's a lot. You know, I have no money. Okay, I have to hire people. I have to hire employees. I have to order jars in a few months. Jars. I can't do pouches. Mother said pouches are out. Even when I'm on my own, I can't do pouches, she told me.
I think you should just keep your job, keep your money, and then start something on the side.
That's what I say.
You know, like get an Etsy page or something. I mean, you know, it's like you're a zillionaire and you're 50, okay, or 49. So just do something else. You know, sell some arts and crafts or something. There's other ways to feel fulfilled.
I also feel it is so ambitious starting a new – I don't even know how you do that. How do you start a new healthcare line – not healthcare, like skincare line from scratch out of nowhere? Like I don't
– Well, it's the old one because it's Hard Night Good Morning, but it's
– True. She has the brand recognition, but then like
– But now it's turning into Good Morning, Hard Night. Morning. Welcome. 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 It's going to be a long, hard night.
It's be called Hard Night. Fail your daughter.
fail morning.
I think she should start fresh, and I think that she should just start with her new brand name. Because honestly, Hard Night Good Morning is like really – it's really hard to remember. I'm always like, good morning, hard night. No, good heart. Good night, good hard morning. You know, just start fresh. Or maybe turn it into like GN – no, no, HNGM. No, that doesn't help at all.
Hung them.
Don't listen to my branding advice, okay? Just watch the NBC.
So Dandra is freaking out. She's like, I will have to completely start over, Leanne. I won't have a car anymore. What am I going to do about Fanny? She's been with me forever. Got to send her out on the street. And Leanne's still mad that Dandra yelled at her about not being married yet. So she's going to get revenge and give her a taste of her own medicine. So she's like, yeah, well, welcome to the real world. You're going to have to clean your own house. Lazy.
You're lazy. You have a princess. You're like a princess lifestyle. And it's your own damn fault. Period. Dot. And. I think the period is the dot, but that's fine.
If you're going to give me some tough love in Beaver Creek, if you can't take it, don't dish it.
Yeah. This is a company. It has to be run. It's not a boat that you put on the ocean. You say, look, look how it floats. Unless it's the Titanic, which it sinks, which might just happen to your company, because that's why you're treating it like a big old iceberg into your boat. Okay? Now paint me nude.
Now, who's the queen of readers?
Because I just read you.
She's being very condescending right now. Okay? She doesn't pay her bills. Rich does. You want your girlfriends to listen, not to lecture you. I have a mother for that.
It's like, can your mother stay out of one scene, please? And one.
You can just imagine Dia sitting at the next table with like a newspaper. She just like lowers it and she's like, mother, not for long. You're being disowned right now.
As she signs her inheritance away to Fanny.
Exactly. Fanny and Amelia split it. Deandra, I'm a huge Deandra fan, but like, you can't do this whole thing of like, girlfriends are there to listen, not to lecture, after we've literally just watched you lecture Leanne about her wedding, which is like far less consequential than starting up a new business. You know, like starting up a new business, you need to be lectured. I think in general, anyone who's doing it needs a lecture or two, because it's really serious. It's money, you know.
I mean, not by married. Someone without a business, though. It's like confusing, but it doesn't even matter. This is one of those things where it doesn't even matter whose side you're on. It's just funny to watch them amp each other up to start screaming at each other for no reason.
Yeah, I just don't like that Deandra didn't like. I felt like there was hypocrisy going on there, you know, that she has lectured Leanne so much, and then Leanne finally lectures Deandra, and Deandra's like, that's condescending. It's like, well, yeah, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
At least I'm married!
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a...
Frankie's Late Night Breakfast.
I've been going out with Sam for a while now. We met last year. We went out dancing, came home late. I don't know why we hit it off, but I'll tell you when I knew we had. The first time we shared a bowl of baked eggs. Tangy tomato sauce with spinach and chilli. You wait till it's simmering, then bake in the eggs. Delicious. We tucked in at 3 a.m. and he said, this is the best breakfast I've ever had.
Make your own late night breakfast with our sweet Italian vine-ripened tomatoes. Food Love Stories, brought to you by Tesco.
Welcome to passengers joining the Now TV summer service to Streaming Central. In the entertainment carriage, we'll be serving over 300 box sets and the latest and best shows. Highlights include Supernatural Romance, A Discovery of Witches. Passengers are also invited to enjoy over 1,000 movies, including a trip to the dark side with Star Wars The Last Jedi and laugh-along adventure Jumanji. Welcome to the jungle. There's summer streaming sorted with Now TV.
18 plus month passes auto renew, terms apply.
Happens commercial.
So now Leanne goes over to some hotel or whatever to meet with Steve of Steve Campbell Event Design. He will be the wedding planner, and he is the best wedding planner in the entire state of America.
He's played by ex-Chicago Mayor Rod Blagojevich. Do you remember him? Was that how you said his name?
Blagojevich or whatever?
Blagojevich, yeah. He looks just like him. It's like he's out of prison, and he's got an extremely gay suit now and a pink plastic carnation to put in his pocket.
Oh, is that I thought it was like a magnolia. Whatever it was clearly like holding either a spy cam or like some
a
water.
Squirt. He's just waiting for someone to mess up so he can squirt water in their face.
He's like, now, Leanne, I need you. Listen, I've got something very serious to tell you. Leanne, could you just bend forward a little bit? Can you get real close? This is for private ears only. Getting real close. Be like, psst. Gotcha, Leanne. Oh, I'll get you, man.
Say, Leanne, how much do you want to spend per person at this wedding? $10? Damn it. $20? Damn it.
Just tell me the answer, all right?
Stop squirting me.
I didn't bring my last clue.
I didn't bring my readers to protect me. She's just getting squirted over and over again. You know, I've been watching a lot of Game of Thrones recently, and I'm just imagining Leanne every time she gets mad. Like, in Game of Thrones, it's like this ongoing thing that, like, there'll be, like, some commotion, and then you'll just see a head rolling on the ground. I try to imagine Leanne's going to do this guy at some point.
Yeah, she's not going to throw a bouquet. It's just going to be Steve's head.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're the one to get buried next. Congratulations.
Winter is coming.
Winter is here, bitches.
Winter is here. That's why I'm getting married in November, okay?
She's like, you're going to kill me, Steve. I forgot a notepad. I'm going to be spanked.
A Locken always repays her debts.
So Rich comes, and he's like, hi, I'm here. Made it, honey. She's like, I'm so glad he came. See, look, he don't have handcuffs on him. His police friends aren't dragging him in here. He's here because he loves me. Now sit down. He's like, oh! All right, I'm sitting.
Yeah, she's like, I'm so glad that Rich took the time out to come join us. I'm like, the time out from what? What else is he doing? Playing Frogger? Like, he's literally doing nothing. He's retired.
So the
because I can imagine him playing Frogger, you know.
I can too. He'd be like, God damn it. Here I've been this whole time trying to lecture people on how to act in traffic and I get run over.
Leanne's like, so Rich, how was your day today? Pretty good. Got Frogger to the other side of the street a few times, so it was a success all around.
I'll tell you, I know it's gonna be a winner of a game when I show Frogger where the crosswalk is.
Now, why don't they have stoplights in Frogger? That would help the game immensely.
If I make one difference in this world, it'll be that.
I'm going to run for office. I'm going to say more crosswalks for Frogger. It's like the lamest video game of all time. Like waiting for the traffic just to come to a stop and then quietly escorting your frog across the street. And so Leanne comes and steps on it. There! That's for all the traffic that had to stop.
Sorry, I thought it was a prince I fucked once.
Sorry, I thought it was Carrie.
She don't watch herself. Don't think I don't know some things.
Certain frogs are just staying on a certain side of the street, if you know what I'm saying.
Rich is like, well, here I am. She goes, well, I thought you'd want to say. And he's like, well, I'm here. So they basically want to spend $5. And
Steve has to really think about how he phrases things, by the way, because he turns to Rich and goes, so what's your vision for the wedding? I'm like, Steve. And then he goes, what colors do you see? What people do you see? I'm like, Steve, can you please be sensitive?
Now listen, I'm gonna keep my eye on the prize here. Alright, okay, that's better, Rich. That's better. So Rich is like, I left my checkbook at home, okay? Because they basically, he's like, you can spend $10 or $10,000, okay? Now it just depends on what kind of wedding you want to have. Do you want a Dallas wedding or a Plano wedding?
I will not have a Plano wedding!
Squirt. Ow! It's just an hypothetical.
You have a wedding inside a box. No, Plano, Texas, not a Plano box. Oh, All right.
So Leanne is like, Dandrill, please take note. I'm sitting here with the best wedding planner in Texas, the hottest man this side of the Rio Grande, and a wedding date near turkey time. I'm getting married, sweetie.
I'm on a recreation of the Mayflower inside our wedding hall, and I'm going to wear a pilgrim dress. She lands like, so how many people? Leanne's like, is it crazy to think 500 to 1,000? It's like, yes, Leanne. Yes. Like, are you inviting the state of Rhode Island? What is happening here? And if you're inviting 1,000 people, then the two of us request an invite because that's too many people.
So yeah, kidding.
Like, put us in the back. That's fine. But like, if you're already inviting 1,000, then we demand a seat.
Yeah, we better be there. What the hell?
Yeah.
So the guy, and also, I don't think that's shooting time. Or maybe it will be. Who knows? But I don't think it is.
It's always shooting time with me.
Don't tell me when it's time to shoot.
So the guy's
It is shooting time because remember last year, Steph had a Halloween party. And it ended with a Christmas party. So it's full on. That is full on Dallas shooting time. Okay.
Oh, well, good planning then. I just don't understand planning a wedding when you're on Bravo and not having it paid for by Craftsy. Like, who does that?
Well, maybe next season. Maybe next season. This is the season of like the wedding planning, maybe, and then next season is like the wedding happening.
Okay. So then let's see here.
So then Steve says, wait, so then as they are like tying everything up and they're deciding what they're going to do, Steve then turns to them and says, okay, well, when you guys come back to me with your vision, I was like, Steve, again, again, Steve. So rude.
You can't unpop a chair, Steve.
So anyway, yeah. So they're getting the ball rolling there, and now we go over to Carrie's parents' house, which I thought was in Palm Springs, but I guess they have another house in Dallas.
No, that's why they're not there, because their parents go to Palm Springs during this time of the year,
and
so their house is empty.
All this time, I thought when they were in her parents' house, I thought that she was going to Palm. Oh, okay, that makes much more sense.
No, it's just she's married to Mark, so she stays at her parents' house, and they're like, we're gonna move to Palm Springs just so we could show Mark his homeland. Okay.
Okay, that makes much more sense. So Deandra comes and visits Carrie, and they sit down to have like girl talk. And Carrie starts asking about Deandra's mom and Dee and everything. How's everything going with her and stuff? And Deandra starts to launch into her whole thing.
Yeah, Deandra's just like, wait, what? I had to sneeze there.
Oh.
Sorry,
oh,
guys.
I thought that was going to be like with Deandra, like gearing up to be like,
so my mother, she is absolutely crazy. I got to start my company from scratch. I got to let go of Fanny. I got no money. I got no credit card. And I don't know what to do with myself. My readers are apparently out of tune. So, like, what am I going to do with that? Like, I can't see anything. My readers, Leanne has better readers than I do. And I can't have Leanne having better readers than I do. And then Jeremy, I mean, he is an ex-military guy. I am the primary breadwinner. I don't even know what to do with myself anymore. And my eyelashes knocked over 5 pots today. I can't even deal.
That's pretty much how it is. She's like, it took me a long time to see what really goes on in the society world. As long as I could write a check, I was a valuable member. And then one of my very good friends lost all her money, and I told her, you're going to lose all your friends. And she did. They scattered like cockroaches. And I'm like, that is so Deandra to be like, oh my God, you lost all your money. You're going to lose all your friends. Buckle in. She's yelling at her friend who just lost all her money. You better get your shit together.
You're going to lose all your friends. I'm your last friend left, okay? I am a cockroach who stayed, okay? I am a cockroach who stayed in the lot.
So she goes through this whole thing about how she's starting all over. I'm starting over at 49, 50, 50, whatever. And then Carrie's like, yeah, because she goes, I'm falling apart. I haven't talked to anybody, but I talked to Leanne. She was all up in my bills and my balls. Do you know how much this costs? Do you know how much that costs? Do you know how much water costs? Do you know how much food costs?
Like, I am supposed to listen to a woman who does not even put a paperweight down on a stack of napkins. I mean, am I really supposed to listen to that?
Yeah, well, your lucky napkins are free because they keep running away from you. Now get your shit together and marry that napkin. So Carrie's like, yeah, she said you only have $200 in your bank account, so
and then
Carrie,
Deandra,
why does anybody talk to Carrie about anything ever?
Yeah, okay? she did this whole thing later in the episode where she's like, last year I didn't tell anyone what anyone said, and look where it got me. So this year I'm telling everyone everything. If you don't want to tell someone, don't tell me. I'm like, Didn't you stir the pot like a million times last year?
Yeah, she started almost every fight. She's like second next to Brandy.
Yeah. So when she says that Leanne says that she only has $200 left, Deandra is like the worst denier. She's like,
that's not true.
I'm rich. I am rich.
I mean, I think maybe what Liam was saying was that, like when we're in Beaver Creek, remember Beaver Lickers? That was so funny. When we were in Beaver Creek, I said that I was having financial problems, and I was joking about having only 200 left. I don't mean like I was at 200 left. I just like, you know, no, I have money left. The cockroach is leaving me now.
And it's so funny that she's having this episode happen right after this weekend. They had a gay pride thing in Dallas, and Brandy and Stephanie were all on the Walmart float.
Oh,
right, that's... after she's like, I'm money. Turn that frown upside down. Okay. I'm money.
Leanne's just alone on the Sam's Club. She's just like, all right, I guess I'm here on the Sam's Club float.
So Deandra's like, she throws her best friend under the bus and says, I have $200. What kind of person does that? Maybe the kind of person who's just yelled at for not like getting wedding ring fast enough. I don't know.
Yeah, and Carrie's like, I just want to make sure that you're okay. That's all. Oh. I'm like, no, no. You wanted to make Leanne look like a bitch. That's what you did.
Yeah, Carrie really... I always like Carrie, and I'm always tricked, I feel like, in the seasons. Because usually I'm like, oh my God, she's so cool, and she's so chill, she's so funny. You know, her diary room sessions are so funny. And then she does shit like this. I'm like, ugh, yeah. God, do you have your own storyline? Do something. I mean, can we have anything besides, like, look, my husband's not emotionally abusing my children on camera today. You know, like, what, do you want a cookie?
Well, she did say last week that she wants to repair her strained relationship with her father, which came out of nowhere and then seems to have disappeared this week. So I don't really know what's going on with Carrie this season. But then after Carrie tells Deandra this about what Leanne said, Carrie just goes, I feel better getting that off my chest. I felt uncomfortable a little bit. Like, oh, well, I'm glad you feel good, Carrie. Yeah. I'm really glad you feel good.
Yeah, she's like right now in my life, honesty is important to me. Okay.
I'm glad now it's important. But also she was like, I was just afraid that if I didn't say something, it was going to come back to haunt me. Like, how is it going to come back to haunt you, you know?
Yeah, and it's lower than usual because it was off camera.
Yeah.
You know? So that's...
They didn't even have a flashback to it.
Yeah, that was a totally off-camera situation that she's now using. But, you know, yeah. Whatever. That's why we watch this shit. So now let's go to the woman office. Welcome.
Oh, my God.
I'm in my husband's office.
Travis having a meeting. Look at all those cookies. He got all those cookies from Albertsons. Oh, my God. They look good. Oh, my God. Could someone pass the cookies? No? Okay. Wendy, do you want... No, no, Wendy's not... What? Yeah, okay.
So Travis is like, today we're going to start the college initiative. If my employees want to learn English or get their GED or whatever. He starts throwing office chairs across the room and breaking them through the glass.
Yeah,
the conference
he just
room.
Like tears off his shirt, turns green. So then Steph is there in the meeting and she's like saying that she has like her finger on her nose for some reason. And she's like, I like that. No, I like that. As a mom, you want the best for your kids, and I'm just going to hold my finger on my nose until someone notices that I'm here.
And Wendy, the head of marketing, is like rolling her eyes the entire time, but I think that's just how she – that's like her rest. She has like resting roll eye face, you know?
Because no one's mentioned her sassy new yellow scarf.
Yeah. She's like, you try to make an effort for television.
I went to Lane Bryant and got this beautiful – goldenrod scarf, and no one has anything to say because everyone's like, look at Stephanie with a finger on her nose. I even brought in these lovely cookies from Albertsons.
Glad Stephanie could show up to take credit for all of my hard work. Damn it, I was tying this scarf around the wrong neck the whole damn time.
Maybe I'll just mention my great idea about dyslexia. We should do a dyslexia screening. Oh, great. This bitch is crying. It's going to be all about her again now. Great, great. Might as well just take the scarf off her and put it on her instead.
Now, because it's a big deal with what you've gone through in your own life with Ixali dyslexia, just making sure you're paying attention over there, Cupcake.
I love that song by Rihanna. Dyslexia. Na, 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 na. Dyslexia. No, that's actually Disturbia. Oh. Stupid bitch.
So then we get Travis's backstory again. He had dyslexia and then polio and then, like, typhoid fever. Then...
He wrote letters to Abigail from the Western Front and said, Abigail, I'm not sure when I'll be back from this dreaded war, but I sure do miss your eyes. They're the only thing keeping me alive during this time.
The only thing keeping my mind off of my polio is studying for my GED. Love, Silver Arch.
So rude.
I know.
Dyslexia runs in my family, actually, Ronnie. You are so rude.
My sister is a teacher of dyslexic children. Thank you very much. Okay, my family is doing enough for this world, and I will be horrible if I want to.
So then I wrote down what you already mentioned. Wendy just rolls her eyes for no reason. They just get the shot of her being like,
That is pretty classic Wendy.
Yeah. Wendy's so then, like, not happy.
Yeah. So then Stephanie and Travis are alone in her office, and he's like, all right, we'll get it done. Now, don't forget, I'll be gone the whole month of May. And she's like, well, education is the key to success.
So he's going to leadership class at Harvard. But I need to figure out if the boys can come and see you or not. You want me to bring him down? Because I get stressed when I'm alone. What am I going to do being all alone in the house and just the kids? You lead everything. You do everything. Will you send us lists? Will you just send us lists? Just something. Just something. Anything.
He's like, now I know I'm the dyslexic one here, but you're the one who said that Boston was down from Dallas, so...
He's like, I'm going to be really busy, babe, okay? And he goes, be a leader. And she says, I've never been a leader. Not one time in my life. Name one time I've been a leader.
And he goes, he just like stares at her and there's a really long pause. And he's like, you got this.
It's like, remember that time when you cut out some coupons for Albertsons regarding cookies and then you brought cookies to the... to the meeting. That was Wendy. Oh, okay.
He doesn't even try to come up with one. So good. I love that every husband on this show low-key hates his wife.
Yeah, there's like some quiet resentment on this show. Well, that's what makes for a good housewife show.
Yep.
Speaking about not-so-quiet resentment, we then go over to the Anger Room, starring Jodie Foster, where Leanne is there in a mustache and like a spiky 80s wig. And no one seems to understand why. Maybe not even Leanne herself.
Yeah. Leanne's like, I don't get it either. Just roll with it. Hey, everybody, I'm Gallagher. Was that... Maybe she was going for Gallagher, because he smashed watermelons and stuff.
Gallagher is a very specific look, and she was... She needed to have, like, long Kenny G hair, and then, like a little mustache situation, but she had, like, a big, bushy mustache. Yeah. And like spiky, like almost like Kris Jenner in the 80s hair, you know?
So Leanne, yeah, she's like getting her smashers together, and Carrie's the first one there, and she's like, wow, that's an outfit. What are you? You know what? Have you looked in the mirror lately? What are you? while we're on the subject.
Woody Woodpecker. So, yeah. And then Brandy and Deandra are driving together over to the Anger Room, and Brandy's like, I don't take out the way I feel with violence. I'm like, oh, quiet.
Oh, yeah, shut up.
You have the most violent household here.
God, no kidding. You take your anger out on mean girl cheerleader emotional abuse. Okay.
Yeah.
And clickism, you dumb hooker.
Silent treatments, yeah.
Try violence. Let's see here. Yeah, so she's like, I don't use violence, and I don't believe that. I'm not violent. One time I threw a candle and it messed up our hardwoods, and I was like, damn it, violence. And she's like, leave it up to Leanne to throw a violence party. Well, she's thrown the party, but the only ones who are going to have problems is us. I'm so frustrated. We were shopping, and I was frustrated, and I said, I spent so much money, I've only got $200 left in my account. I meant I have $200 in my shopping account. She told Carrie, now Carrie, Carrie's gonna know. I'm like, Deandra is too crazy right now.
I know, and already her story has changed since Carrie, because with Carrie, she said, well, it was just like, she was like, well, I mean, I have more than $200. I didn't mean, it was like, I meant it like as a joke, and now she's telling Brandy, well, I only had $200 in my shopping account. But I have more. I mean, I believe that Deandra has more than $200 for sure. But she's already changing her story around. So it's making me be like, you know?
I think she was at the end of her allowance for that week. Truly, we've all been there. You know, I was at the skating rink. I used to go to the skating rink and get a pickle, you know. But then it's like you have 50 cents left. What are you going to do with it? Cry. That's what you do. Like, what are you going to do? Play two games of Ms. Pac-Man?
Wait. Can we rewind? You went to the skating rink and got a pickle with your allowance money. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, every week. My mom would just like open the car door, kick us out with $5, and be like, I'll be back in 6 hours.
It was like pickle time.
Yeah. Pickles and skating. And guess who didn't skate ever?
Oh,
you had to pay to
cute.
Go in, you know?
I feel like if I had $5 to spend at a skating rink or something like that, I feel like a pickle is not where I'd go. I think I'd go for ice cream.
Well, you know, man, some of us were on Weight Watchers, so enjoy yourself. Sometimes I would get cotton candy, which is why I had so much anger about not having napkins with cotton candy earlier, you see?
You're going to get so many pickles at the live shows now.
No pickles.
It's like me with the Stroop waffles.
Well, those are delicious.
They are delicious.
I didn't know there were so many different kinds. Like, this time you got minis. Okay, the point is, Dandra's freaking out. And then Brandy goes, remember when I told you she was your friend but waited for a weakness to use against you? Brandy, she never did that to you.
Yeah.
That is when, all in your head. You were not, she was nice to you while you were being mean to Stephanie. Then Stephanie was nice to you, and you immediately started talking shit about her and telling everybody shit about her. So I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't even remember how everything went down towards the end of season two, because so much started to happen all at once. I don't even remember why Brandy switched over to being aggressively anti-Leanne. I think she thought that Leanne said something because Carrie had said something. It was something weird. It had something to do with like the issue with the doctor's office. There was so much craziness at the end of last season. I can't parse it all out. But the one thing that I seem to remember was that there was no like exploitation of Brandy's weakness.
Yeah. Brandy's always the one crying and whining that everybody's hurting her and going against her. Nobody's ever done shit to Brandy. This is all in her fucking head. She's the aggressor in almost every fight she's in.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Very, very good point.
Probably up with Carrie. And Carrie's a major shitster. But it looks they're going to have problems soon. And I'm guaranteeing you it's Brandy starting this shit. It always is.
Well, also, just even right here, Brandy saying this, it's like it is such a manipulative thing to say. Because honestly, like there was no moment, at least that we saw on camera, where it was like, you know, maybe like, well, Leanne is one of my best friends. So maybe there was a context in which she was saying it that she wasn't like, maybe she was like, I feel like if one of my best friends said something like that, I would give them the benefit of the doubt that they weren't being gossipy, right? That they were saying it as more of a like concern or whatever, like, you know. But I think that really Deandra's in like such a hypersensitive place because she's so anxious about this situation with her mom that she's just being crazy. And so Brandy, her first instinct to be like, well, Leanne's just trying to exploit you, you know, is trying to like, you know, find your weakness and use it to her advantage to like make herself feel better about her own financial situation.
She's insecure and she used you to feel better about herself. I mean,
like, I don't know. I don't think that Leanne needs that, to be honest. I think Leanne is in like a, well, Leanne's not as wealthy as Deandra, but like, I don't know. Everyone who watches Bravo is going for
someone's insecurity, right? She's telling Deandra this because Deandra, of course, is going to have that fear, as she's already said in this show, that people are only your friends because you have money. So Brandy's saying, well, she's only your friend because you have money, you know? So Brandy is the one who takes something that you're insecure about and uses it against you. She's doing it right in the scene.
Yeah. And why, if that was the case, why isn't Leanne doing this to Cameron? You know, because Cameron, I think, is probably the wealthiest of them all.
Well, supposedly she is because she's friends with the rich girls. She's like closest with the rich girls, and she fucks with the Planos of the group.
Brandy's point?
Yeah.
No, but okay. I see what you're saying, but like, I don't know. I just felt like this was
like she'll only mess with Brandy because she's poor.
It's just that like I feel like Brandy like. It's to me, it's frustrating when one person is accusing someone else of being manipulative, but that accusation in and of itself is just as manipulative or more manipulative of as the accusation.
Right.
Yeah, oh, geez.
I gotcha. She's an asshole. There. Let's sum it up. Brandy's an asshole. Okay, so next up, we're still in the anger place, and Cameron comes in. She's like, sorry, guys, I'm a few minutes late because I literally just flew in the Global Pet Expo.
Yeah, I was at the Global Pet Expo, and I have some great leads on some distributors.
What's the point of the mustache? So she can be more manly smashing stuff? Maybe there's a Mr. and Mrs. Leanne, and Mr. Leanne came to smash things.
I was like, that's an interesting theory. Sure. She's like, so now does anyone know where I get my bags?
This is where I rent a car, right?
Is this Alamo? So the Global Pet Expo in Orlando went so much better than I could have imagined. Like, I got pictures there, and that was like a big win for me.
I took pictures in front of my booth. So Leanne's like, your skirt, madam, is to put handy stuff in. For example, mind fit hands.
They work quite well.
So Leanne's really into her thing, you know, and she's got a lesson for everybody. You know, Leanne's like, and here we are to empower women. You know, so she's like, I got pink eye patches, so you know you're here to do battle. I want to get them in the spirit, is what today's about.
I also have pink eye.
Don't scratch your butt and then scratch your eye. Lesson learned, ladies.
Lesson learned. Yes, they have like a tutorial about like how to smash things and stuff. And then Lan's like, we are doing this because we have to get to the real issues. We're not going to be fake. And then she like dramatically removes her mustache and her wig. And she's like, that's why I wore these, to show that we can take off our invisible mustaches and wigs and be our true selves. And I feel like everybody in this group is pretty good at being fake, which that's like Leanne, that's like not how to bring people together, you know, by accusing everyone of being fake. That's not going to work.
Now, Carrie, unmess up your face so we can have a real talk.
Could someone turn the fan off that's blowing in Carrie's face? Oh, no, that's just what her face looks like these days. Okay.
And Carrie's like, we're not going to be like last year at that tea party, right? Because that was not coming from a good place. Okay, can we just let that pass now? You're in a different season. If you're going to still be mad over the same shit from like 10 years ago, Carrie, you know, we're going to need that face to show up to court.
I am going to respectfully disagree with you, Ronnie. I think it's great to bring up the tea party because then we get flashbacks to said tea party. Where it's like, we're like, Carrie, you're a bitch. You saying I'm a bitch? Are you calling me a bitch? I guess I am. And they show that shot of Cameron where she like rotates at the camera and is like,
and then Leanne, no, or Deandra slamming down her gavel. We will not talk like that in my house.
So Deandra's like, I have never been fake. That is bullshit. That is bullshit. And then he goes, I will let you have that.
What does that mean? You'll let me have it. What does that mean? Huh? What does that mean? You'll let me have it. I'm not fake. Well, I've certainly not said everything I've felt. Oh, you've said a lot. And you've also told people how much money I said was in my account. What the fuck is that? Someone who's been my friend for over 10 years would go to another person. Carrie, sorry, that's you. And say such horrible thing. It's like she's being played by Sherry O'Terry right now from Saturday Night Live. She's just losing it.
Leon's like, oh, and she's like reaching for her readers. Let me get those readers to shame her into silence. Oh, no, where are my readers? Where are my readers at? Oh, I've been stripped of my powers.
And she's, Leanne's just staying calm and nodding and doing that thing with her lips where she's like,
She's trying to be like Cameron. Mm-hmm.
She's like, I don't have a bowl, but dong. And Deandra just keeps screaming. She's like, what were you doing? There are things I know about you, and I would never say them, not ever. And then Cameron tells us, she goes, I get that she's upset and embarrassed, but why would you even believe that rumor? Like, $200? What is that, her Starbucks account?
How much coffee is Cameron drinking? Wow. That's a lot. I keep a balance of $20 at max in my Starbucks thing.
But you know Cameron's that person in the Starbucks line that's like, oh my god, I owe you 50 cents. How do I do it?
She is the one who is being slow in the Starbucks line. Yes. Like, I actually pass so much judgment on people who don't have the Starbucks app when they go to Starbucks. Like, I'm sorry, I do. Because basically, like, the Starbucks gods have given us an efficient way to order food. Like to pay for it. Like, you just scan it, and then that's it. And, like, if you're sitting there pulling out, like, dollars and quarters or whatever – I'm sorry, but there's an app for that, and you should use it. I really do believe that. I'm sorry. That may be one of my most shallow judgments. I understand, like, you know, I understand there is, like, if you don't have a smartphone, then I won't judge you. But if you have a smartphone and you have willingly opted to not have the Starbucks app, but you're going into Starbucks and you are, like pulling out cash and being slow, that's a problem, and you need to fix it.
Well said.
Although I will say, well, I think you were with me, right? That I was the slow person in Starbucks the other day because my thing wasn't reloading, and I was like, oh my god.
Well, that
and
I was happens slow. Every time I complain about something, it turns into me. It's like instant karma, yes. You know?
But the thing is, I felt shame, and I feel like other people don't feel shame. And I felt shame, and I gave like an apology look to people around me.
I know. When you go to therapy and you're like, I'm sick of feeling shame, and then they show you how to not feel shame, that means they've turned you into a horrible person. Okay?
Yeah. Because this Starbucks issue is a major problem at the airport, like airport Starbucks. It's like people order even slower and they get more and more confused and they decide to add more customizations. It's like, you know, just at the very least, just scan. And then they want to use up all their gift cards at the airport. They're like, okay, how much is on this one? Okay, use that one. Okay, how much is on this one? Use that one. Okay, I'll do the rest in cash. It's like, I am going to shake you. There is a flight I have to catch.
Oh my God. You guys should see when somebody tries to combine all their gift cards in the Starbucks line. Ben is like, I trusted you.
There are things that I know about you that I would never tell.
We have a loyalty. I don't do that to you. I don't do that to me. You don't get to do that to me.
So Leanne's like, I agree.
I was trying to make a situation I wasn't there to protect you from better. And I know you don't see that right now, and that's fine.
It is so humiliating that people are talking about this. Everyone in Dallas is saying, she only has $200.
You know that I have your back, and you do not have my back. You do not have my back.
I'm like, Deandra, you were the one last week who, when Leanne said, you know what, like, be careful with Brandy, the very first thing you did is that you went up to Brandy and was like, Leanne said this. So you really can't talk about who has whose back, honestly.
Yeah. Like, now that we've said that, Leanne is also full of shit. It was completely stupid for her to go up and say anything to Carrie at all.
Of course.
For her to say, I was trying to make a situation I wasn't there to protect you from better.
Yeah. But the thing is this, when Leanne's full of bullshit, it's so funny. I don't know. Because it's just like it's consistent with her character, right? But like when someone like Deandra is bullshit, I guess because Deandra's being more indignant about it, I guess, or sanctimonious about it, whereas Leanne's just like, well, I wasn't gossiping. I heard about a situation and I thought I could protect you by talking about it. It's like,
Yeah. It's like people who yell at the firemen.
And then Cameron, of course, makes it about yell at the
firemen. Cameron's like, I started a fire. Now get out of my house.
So Cameron's like, I didn't hear any of this stuff that you just said. I'm blindsided.
I was too busy bashing a baby.
Apparently, I'm too busy making fun of adopted babies. You have to choose your words more carefully.
So then Leanne tells us the story. She says, when she came home from shopping, she said she was upset that her mom would be mad that she spent money on the company card. And I thought I would bring in Carrie because we're building trust and they're friends and it's like a trust circle. Like, okay.
Yeah. The last thing I want is for Deandra to lose Fanny, okay?
And I love that she got in there that Deandra is spending money on the company card and she's going to get in trouble.
And then so then Leanne starts classic. Like telling Leanne's like, I thought I was doing that in complete privacy. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, excuse me, Miss Queen of England.
Yeah, she gets very fancy when she's like, now that was not the way in which it was intended to be spoken to thou.
No. When I put it on the schedule with Carrie that we'd be talking in privacy, I thought, in fact, we would have total privacy.
To stab or not to strangle? That is the question. Hands!
Anyway, let me eat my sandwich, which is wrapped up in aluminium.
And Stephanie's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have $200. I'll send you to college. You can learn so many things. You can read forwards. They'll cure your polio. You can get a GED. And Cameron's like,
do you like my new scarf?
And Cameron's like, no matter what, we're here for you. You'll never be invited to one of my parties again.
And we'll be here. Even more here for you when you have more money.
She starts throwing nickels at Dandra's head. And Dandra's like, it's humiliating. And Brandy's like, it shouldn't be. I grew up in a trailer and I'm okay. I even go back and visit that trailer. And Carrie, ever so classy, is like, was it a double wide? Single? Really? I'm like, okay, I love that you're mocking her for the trailer.
Well, I think they were trying to bring levity because Leanne was also like, did it have wheels? She's like, no, because the Mississippi River. So now it's like, whatever. So now they're going back. Now they're going to start smashing stuff. But now Leanne is mad at Carrie because she felt like, you know, like she had told Carrie this and Carrie just completely went and told Deandra. So now she's really mad. And Leanne's like, you know, when I said it to you, I wasn't saying it in like a ha-ha way. I wasn't trying to be gossipy. And Carrie's like, no, of course not. And I said that. I'm like, no, you did not say that at all.
Yeah. She's like, well, you know, I said that you were doing it in a nice way. And if I wasn't honest, I mean, come on. This would have blown up in my face, you know. And if there was something said about me, I would want to know. Okay.
But the thing is that, like, there's a difference between just sort of like gossiping backstabby stuff versus being like, oh no, here's a situation, like, what do you think? I don't know if Leanne said it, like, what do you think we should do? That's what she's saying, because who knows with Leanne. But, like,
well, she was,
I think,
gossiping. I mean, I think she's right to be in trouble. It's just that how it happened. You know, yeah. She did it off camera, and then Carrie just takes any little thing she can and runs right to her. I mean, I think Leanne's definitely in the wrong. She shouldn't have been saying shit like that. Because then when Deandra told Leanne that, Deandra was also telling her that off camera in private. So,
yeah.
You know, the rules work for everybody. They're all being dicks here. It's just, They're just like, oh, let's all yell at Leanne again. You know, it's like, oh, yeah. God, can we at least give it a build up?
I do like when they yell at Leanne, because it just means that Leanne's crazy is going to come out, which she's been, like, throttling that crazy this season, and, like, we know it's going to explode, and, like, I cannot wait for it. Like, that, this is, like, what I'm, this is making me more and more excited.
Well, till then, I've got magic markers.
Yeah.
So I want you to write something and write something on this plate and then smash that plate. How about you, Deandra?
Yeah. Yeah, Deandra, I don't think she understands the concept of this, because she writes down on the plate, I am good enough the way I am, and then she throws it at the wall and smashes it. I'm like, I think you just destroyed your self-esteem right there. I'm like, I think you just did it. She's like, my mother is right. I'm going to throw this against the wall and break it.
And Leanne's like, do you forgive me? Give me kisses. She's like, well, I'm still pissed, Leanne.
She's like, well, I don't care. I'm still not going to leave you.
So then Carrie goes next, and she's like, I mean, all she had to write down was Mark. Like, literally, that's all she needed to write down. But she takes the whole pair, you know, she takes the entire plate. She's like, I'm going to speak my mind, even if it pisses people off. So, like, okay, so you've never regretted anything in your real life, and You have nothing to regret. And that's the end. Jesus.
It's like, but also, like, stop writing down good things on the plate and destroying them. You're supposed to write down the shit that you want to release. It's like I will be my own woman, Crash. It's like, oh, okay, you want to disavow yourself from being your own independent woman. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, Steph, really mad that they messed up the process.
Yeah. Well, Steph gets it back on track.
She got it right.
She's like,
yeah.
The struggle to be loved. And when that lion outside of Dandra's house asked me to go for a walk, I just said yes. Smash. And Cameron's like, I want to live the simple life.
Which, like, made no sense. Like, it was neither, like it was nothing, like, hanging over her. It was nothing that had to be smashed. And then she smashed the simple life, which meant that she wanted to live the non-simple life. But also, it's, like, so condescending, too.
Yeah.
It was great.
I love that everybody just stayed quiet and stared at her, like, waiting for her to finish, and she never finished.
She, like, literally just wants to resurrect the show, The Simple Life, and star in it.
Yeah. And Leanne's,
that's
like,
hot.
And Leanne's like, I regret not starting a big fat Greek storyline, my big fat Greek wedding storyline earlier. Smash!
So she's like, I regret not breaking plates. There, fix that. Smash.
And Brandy's like, I regret always being worried about getting a nanny because I deserve one, basically.
Yeah, basically, that's nanny, like,
that's,
I want
Brandy's
to hire
thing. We're all going to feel bad for Brandy now because she's really overcoming that huge struggle of spending money on a nanny so she can go out drinking with her friends. Oh my God, what a storyline. It's like, it might as well be cancer.
Oh, Mary Poppins, please come save the day.
She's coming back. There's a sequel coming called Mary Poppins Returns.
Yeah, it's coming out this December, which I never saw the original Mary Pops. So.
Oh, my God. Okay, stop disgusting me. We're in the home run here.
So now, like, you know, Steph has to go, I gotta return these cookies to Ralph's. So Brandy, like, walks to sort of the lobby area with her, and Brandy's not sure if she should bring up what she learned about what Leanne had said to Deandra. She's like, should I mention it or not? And of course, Stephanie's like, no, I say you should do it because we're on a TV show. So yeah. Brandy's like, okay, I'm going to do it. So she goes back to the group and she basically confronts Leanne, being like, I heard that you said that Deandra shouldn't be friends with me because I'm going to hurt her the way I hurt you or something like that.
No, and Leanne, I hear you have hesitation about Deandra being friends with me. That's it. And then Leanne's like, what?
I've never said a thing like that. Hey, you ever tried to lock down a napkin? It's harder than you think, right, Brandy? Best friend, new best friend now again.
And Deandra's like, I said what you said sitting there, okay? And
you were sitting right there, and you were right there. It all happened. Leanne goes, oh, yes, I said that. I did say that. You know what's funny? I did say that, Brandy.
And I said that I wanted to make my own decisions, and you said I should make my own decisions. And Cam breaks in, and she's like, Brandy, I'll be honest.
Yes. Do it. Do it.
I was worried when you guys were getting a little close because I thought you'd be a bad influence on Deandra in some ways.
You know what I love about Cameron? She always finds the absolute worst time to just say something ridiculous. Like, she exacerbates the situation at, like, the very worst time, and that's what I love. Because then she goes, because I didn't think Deandra was the sort of person to put a Keurig cup up her butt. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe she's still upset about the Keurig cup. And she's mentioning it now.
She'll never let it go. And Brandy's, you know, it's given Brandy the perfect opportunity to be the victim. So she's like,
you don't even have to speak. I get it.
And Carrie's like, get what? You're not telling her to do anything. She's like, no, I get it. If I hadn't brought this up, then this wouldn't have happened. How am I being a bad influence? Once again, she's a grown woman. And then she, like, runs off.
And then Deandra starts. Right, and then Deandra starts getting into a huff. She's like, I am 100% in charge of things in my own life. I do things the way I want to do them. If I want to stick a Keurig cup up my ass, if I want to make my business about that, then that's the way it's going to be. And Cameron just goes, like that pursed lip thing that's like, whatever you say, I support you, you broke dumbass. I always support the poor.
Do. I regret that Deandra is poor. Crash. They're like, the game is over. Okay, Cameron. Yeah.
I wish I could live the simple life like Deandra, the poor.
And no one chases Brandy out, so she comes back, which is so Brandy. So she's like,
just wanted you guys to know that I was in the parking lot, but I realized I have integrity and morals, and I set a good example for my children. For example, that stripper pool. Or,
you know, it's like, oh God, should we make a list?
Yeah, then Cameron at this somewhere around here is like, I didn't say it was bad that what the influence you had on Deandra was. I just said it was different, like, you know, a poor person, which I guess is what she is now.
I don't understand how people pick my card every time they tell me to pick one, but you know what? I'm not going to stand against magic. Okay, if you can make coffee with your butt, you can make coffee with your butt. Congratulations.
I'm just saying, I never saw that side of Deandra before. I always saw someone who was well-behaved and extremely wealthy. And now I'm seeing that she's just a boor who's poor. I rhymed.
So Leanne's like, okay. Now here's the deal, Brandy. Last year, I got very close to you, and I felt deeply hurt. And I said to her, I've been down this road, and it didn't work out. And as my friend, I want you to be careful. That's it. Okay, very clearly said, and very good way to stand up for yourself. I'm impressed.
Yes.
So then Dan, what's her buns, is rolling her eyes. She's like, like, Deandra is about to lose her shit. She's like, hand me that sledgehammer again, mother.
And Brandy's like, if we're starting fresh, why are you saying this? And Cameron's like, oh, fresh food. That's something you won't be able to have anymore, Deandra, now that you're poor.
And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Wow, what a fun show. Everybody, thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to go get your tickets for New York City. We have tickets open for our Real Housewives of Dallas recap, which is going to be on Thursday night. And we're sold out for Friday night, so sorry about that. But come see us on Thursday. And then the next month we are in Seattle. And then in December we are in Nashville, which is going to be Ben's 40th birthday party. So be prepared to come in your morning clothes.
Oh my God, it's going to be, my 40th. I'm turning 40 on December 4th, and then the Nashville show is on December 6th. So, It's going to be fresh. It's going to be fresh.
So go get your tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com. You can also find links there to go buy Headbutt or a t-shirt for September. That will be available another 2 weeks or so. So go over there and grab that. Until then, we'll see you guys soon. Bye.
Bye.